الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لكل أمة فتنة، وفتنة أمتي المال، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected علماء الكرام, most respected elders, dear brothers and friends, and our mothers and sisters who are listening. Generally, in our discussions, whether it be our social discussions, our family discussions, and generally among people, we find that there is one terminology that is being used to describe the type of era that we are living in today. And that one terminology or word that is being used very prevalently or commonly is the word fitna. We'll hear it very commonly that we are living in an age of fitna. And this particular thing that is happening is a fitna. And perhaps someone who is doing something which we think is incorrect, then we would regard that as a fitna. So this word fitna is very commonly used and it is heard today. And of course, indeed, the source of this word and the source of this terminology emanates from the Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word fitna in the Quran Kareem in different, in varied connotations or context, approximately 34 times. And to describe different circumstances, situations, and expressions of this word fitna, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has brought it in various ayat and given it expression and given that particular discussion or that topic a meaning and an understanding that people will derive understanding and guidance from. Ayat of the Quran Kareem, wal fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that fitna, which can be translated as tribulation, trial, strife, temptation, difficulty, political challenges, these are the varied meanings of al fitna. So Allah says in this ayat of the Quran Kareem, al fitnatu ashaddu min al qatl. That fitna is such that it is more severe and serious than murder. In another place of the Quran Kareem, Allah uses the word وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. And fear that fitna, that trial and tribulation, and that difficulty which will not afflict only those who are the oppressors among you. لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. The trials and the tribulations and the tests that come with a situation of difficulty are not exclusive to the oppressors only. In another verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And we will test you and we will try you with shar. Shar meaning adverse conditions, difficulties, strife, uphill. وَالْخَيْرِ. And we will even test you would good conditions, would wealth, would luxuries, would comforts, would peaceful situations. From this ayat we understand that difficulty is not only constricted to adversity or adverse conditions, but even a person who is living in favorable conditions. Person can be living in very easy conditions, but that condition is also a fitna for that person in this sense, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has a responsibility on his shoulders in those good conditions also. So, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And further on in other ayats of the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Certainly and indeed, your wealth and everything that you possess and your children are a fitna. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Whatever you have and whatever you are striving for, whatever you are earning and whatever you are toiling for, be it your children, your family, your wealth, your investments, your properties, your vehicles, businesses, professions, all of this Allah says is a fitna in the context and in this sense that it is a challenge and a trial for a person. It is a tribulation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualifies all of this. لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. That verily insan and humanity has been created in a constant cycle of tribulation, challenge and examination. So all of this gives us a very clear meaning and an understanding that our life and our existence and our day and our night, we are confronted with conditions. We are confronted with challenges. We are confronted with examinations. And we are confronted all the time with the need to make decisions, to be decisive as to which direction we want to take with that particular challenge and that examination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in front of us. Now, the reason why chosen to actually bring about this discussion is because we know what the present conditions in the world are around us. All over we find the media, the press, and wherever we go, the one discussion is about the strife of the ummah, the difficulty of the Muslims, both locally and globally. And therefore it is important for us as believers that we understand the context of the Quran Kareem. We understand the analogies of the Quran Kareem. We understand that the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us through these very important ayat and discussions. Otherwise, as far as information is concerned, everyone has it. It's in the news. It's very easy to obtain. Everyone can give you statistics. And as things unfold, the news, the media is always there. And that is something within the scope of everyone to have. Even a child can have all this information. But is it only about us knowing what is happening? It is only about us just having a media insight about the conditions that are afflicting us and afflicting us as individuals and as a community and as an ummah? Or is it about a perspective, an understanding that why are these conditions unfolding? What are the causes? What are the reasons? What are the solutions? What is the approach? And all of those things that go with a proper plan of action. So when we look at the Quran Kareem again, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a very important and dynamic surah in the center of the Quran Kareem, which is known as Surah Al-Kahf. And being the central surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept its themes also very central, very powerful, very effective. And moreover, we know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked us to read the surah every Friday, particularly the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses, and better still, the entire surah, so that we may be able to protect ourselves And we may be able to manage our lives with the challenges and the trials and the fitting that surround us. And I'm not going to go into a detailed explanation of this particular surah. But to understand the word that we are discussing, to understand the concept of fitna, to understand the reality of fitna and tribulation in our life, this surah is very definitive. It is very clear and it's got a beautiful explanation and a comprehensive grasp over this whole topic and this, the conditions that we are facing. The central themes of this important surah are afflicting and affecting all of us. No individual is immune or is protected from the tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forward in the surah Al-Kahf. The very first theme and discussion and event that Allah discusses, we all know, is about the sleepers of the cave. And the entire theme about the sleepers of the cave is the aspect of faith and iman. Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, rahimahumullah, has written a very succinct tafsir of the surah, and he has titled it, the English translation is Faith versus Materialism. And this gives us the very essence of everything that is happening. If a person wants to know, come down right to the root, right to the core, right to the basis of everything, then it is between these two factors, and that is faith versus materialism. The wars that we see in the present moment, the genocide that is taking place in Burma, and all other conditions that we find around in the world, largely boil down to this one factor, and that is the aspect of faith versus materialism. And this is a challenge that we all have to deal with. Each and every one of us has to deal with this aspect of the importance of safeguarding faith, nurturing our faith, learning our faith, developing our iman, protecting our iman, and all of those factors that go with it so that a person develops himself and herself into a perfect believer, a true believer, a real genuine believer. And in that way, a person attains salvation in this world and in the akhirat and the hereafter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam has given many prescriptions as far as the safeguarding of iman is concerned. Just one which we may know. The recitation of the dua, radina billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rasulun wa nabiyya. This dua should be recited every morning and evening. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the guarantee of jannat for a person who reads this dua with true iman. And only a person who has true iman will be able to read this dua with sincerity and will practice upon the requirements of this dua. That is, O Allah, I am happy with Islam as my deen, with Allah as my Rabb, Allah as my creator, wa bil islami deena, and Islam as my faith and my creed, wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rasulun wa nabiyya, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my rasul and as my nabi. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect to understand the concept of fitna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought the theme of wealth. The second story in Surah Al-Kahf is between these two friends. The one friend is advising the other friend, don't let wealth consume you. Don't let wealth impress you. Don't let wealth take control of your life. Don't let wealth beguile you. Allah has brought this very powerful and important theme right here in the center of the Quran Kareem, because this is one of the biggest challenges of humanity. The distinction between the love and craving and persuasion of this dunya and wealth, and the idea of using it to benefit one's life and benefit humanity. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةٍ. For every ummah there is a fitna, there is a trial, there is a challenge, there is a tribulation. وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. And the fitna and the trial of my ummah is going to be in wealth. People are going to be deceived by the possession of wealth, by the craving for wealth,
by the ownership of wealth, when everything that goes, when a person absorbs himself and drowns himself in the persuasion of wealth.
Again, the qualifier must be said, it must be mentioned, that it does not mean a person possessing wealth, earning wealth, and earning the means of adopting wealth and having wealth are incorrect or are wrong or are disliked. But it is about the management of it. It is about the attachment to it. It is about the usage of it. This is where the fitna of wealth comes in. The third trial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the central surah is the trial and the tribulation of knowledge and information. We're living in an information age, and this trial perhaps has never been as critical and as severe and as daunting and as overwhelming as it is in our time today. We all know the challenges of electronic media. We all know the challenges of social media today. It has gripped every household. It has gripped the entire humanity. The whole humanity is gripped in the social media web, if we can call it, or the net. And it is causing the decline and the degeneration of generations, of countries, of businesses, of marriages, of communities. It is having a devastating effect across the spectrum of humankind. So Allah Ta'ala brings this challenge right here in the Quran Kareem to say that this tribulation, this fitna is something that you are going to face and you're going to have to deal with and you're going to have to manage. And the fourth trial that Allah Ta'ala discusses in this very important surah is the trial and the tribulation of power and authority. Another huge challenge that faces each and every one of us. One may say, how does power affect me? I'm not running for president, or I don't want to be the chairman, or I don't want to be in any position. But everybody, in some capacity or the other, has been given some power and some authority in his life. And the very desire for a person to be acknowledged, to be recognized, to be known, to be popular, to be seen, to be heard. These all fall under the umbrella and the banner of the need for power and authority. And again, we find that this whole media spectrum comes into it. That how easy it is for a person to rise up to glory, for a person to become popular. Some crank or some prank a person does, and the whole world is talking about it, and it becomes viral. And a person gains momentum and popularity and ascendancy through it. So Allah has brought this in the Quran Kareem, the trial of power and the trial of authority. And of course it applies to all those who are in whatever capacity of power and authority, be it as an employer, be it as a leader or chairman, be it as a father, or be it in any capacity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these trials and these fitan right at the door of that person. And this includes, it's mentioned in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that temptation has gripped you, temptation has deceived you. And this temptation for this expression of these egos, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought it. So my respected friends, what we find in front of us is that a broad understanding and explanation of the type of challenges and tribulations that we are facing in our time. This time is known as an era of trial, an era of tribulation, the era of examination. And the need is that each and every one of us, individually and collectively, needs to understand in what time we are living, where we are living, what is our environment, what are the dictates of the circumstances and conditions that are around us and that are prevailing and that are developing. Just to have literal information or mental information of something is not sufficient. A mu'min is somebody who has the quality of al-wa'yu. Al-wa'yu means a person is alert, he is aware. He is all the time probing. He's thinking, he's analyzing, understanding,
processing. And this is what is required today as a start for us to actually begin to deal with our tribulations and our challenges that are facing us. We have to have the intellectual capacity. We have to have spiritual capacity. We have to have economic capacity. We have to have all the different capacities and abilities that are required. But these things will start firstly with an understanding and with the knowledge. Therefore Allah speaks about this in the Quran al-Kareem, that knowledge, that tribulation of knowledge must be directed. It must not be misdirected. If it is directed correctly, then that trial now becomes a ni'mat and a bounty. Like wealth also. When that wealth is understood, that what role does this wealth and this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala play in my life, and a person directs it correctly, then that wealth now, from a trial and a tribulation, from being a difficulty, and even sometimes from being a curse, it becomes a ni'mat and a bounty. And of course, if a person does not manage it and misdirects it, then that fitna becomes a fitna, it becomes a tribulation, it becomes a means of accountability, and it can become a means of that person's failure and his downfall. So this is the first thing as an action point, that let us begin to start functioning intellectually. Let us begin to start reading the Quran al-Kareem, understanding the messages of the Quran al-Kareem. We have to develop this capacity, this ability to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. Even if we take just one surah of the Quran al-Kareem for our whole life, and we understand that one surah, insha'Allah ta'ala, that surah will hold us in good stead. It will take us to our destination. Suratul Kahf. Let us read it. Alhamdulillah, many of us, through the encouragement of our mashayikh and our ulama, and the good environment that we have developed around us in our community, many of us read Suratul Kahf. Let us now not stop there. Let's not stagnate. Let's begin to understand the messages of Suratul Kahf. Then we will open up our mind. We begin to think. And this will give us an insight and perspective as to what is happening around the world. We will now begin to approach a situation more positively, more effectively, more dynamically. And alhamdulillah, not to say that we haven't done anything or we are not doing anything. The charitable nature of the community is well known. Alhamdulillah. This is a great khidmat. It's a great service. And it's a great achievement. It's a bounty and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to rally, to be able to contribute, to be able to be charitable. But does our responsibility and our understanding stop there? Or does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want more from that mu'min and that believer? It is only a believer, it is only a Muslim who can understand the nizam and the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this world, the concepts of fitan, the concepts of tribulation. It is only a believer who can understand it correctly and in proper perspective. No other person, no other human being will be able to understand the mansha of Allah, the reasonings, the wisdoms, the perspectives of the Quran al-Kareem besides a true mu'min and a true believer. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand this so that our approach is correct. We become effective. We become solution orientated. We do not become reactive. We are proactive to the situations that are facing us. Today, even if we leave out the trials that are being faced by Muslims all around the world, and we just have to look at our doorstep, the difficulties that we are facing as a community locally, in our own community, on our doorstep, in our neighborhood, that is a sufficient start for us to be concerned. A mu'min, man lam yahtamma bi umuri al-muslimin falaysa minna. A person who is not cognizant of what is happening around him in his community. He doesn't know what's happening next door. He does not know what are the developments that are taking place in the land that he is living. He doesn't have perspective. He doesn't have an idea. He's constricted to his narrow mind and understanding of his home, his business, his profession, his ibadat, in his life. In fact, all of this is included in ibadat. But we have narrowed the understanding of ibadat and worship to salah and our private ibadat and worship. But this is broad, it's expansive. So we got to understand and we got to know what is happening around us. And when we will begin to unfold and unpack all of this, then we will realize that life is not about being self-centered and selfish. It is about us being concerned about the difficulties of others that we have around us. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have directed us in this direction, that if you want to become a good human being, a proper human being, أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنْ إِلَىٰ إِيَالِهِ. The best of people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who are the best to the family and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best believer, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ, the best among people, أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, are those who are the best to humanity. These are principles, these are concepts, these are understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And this will come once we begin to open our minds and we begin to learn and read and we begin to now apply the understanding that the Quran al-Kareem has given us. And in that way, inshallah ta'ala, step by step, we will be able to approach our challenges, our tribulations. We will be able to make inroads into situations and we will be able to become solution orientated, as I said. And we're not going to solve the problems of the world. Trials are going to come. The time of Qiyamah, when Akhiru Zaman, towards end of time, when one fitna will end, or one fitna or trial will not even end, another one will already be at our door. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never gave us the guarantee that there will be no fitna in the world. Trials will continue to come down. Like how the rain comes down upon our house. Like how the dark portions of a night begin to escalate. All these have been mentioned in the hadith. But what our requirement is, the need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from us, is that our approach and us rallying towards trying to overcome and trying to help the situation so that we will be rewarded for it firstly, and also we will be able to safeguard ourselves and our communities, and in that way, inshallah ta'ala, we will continue to draw from the favors and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability and this tawfiq that we need to gain understanding in our life. We need to gain knowledge in our life. We need to open this Quran al-Kareem. We need to begin to start a process of learning and understanding so that that becomes the first step of us implementing. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.